Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are wrapping up a week kind of addressing what is the church saying to us after Christmas Day. So we've been going back to the readings, well, basically the reading, because we're going through the first reading, and we might get a little bit into the responsorial psalm today, but we'll see what the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The first reading in the Mass of December 26th. So the first Mass that we have after Christmas Day, Jesus is born into the world. Yes, we're celebrating Christmas. We're in the octave of Christmas. We're kicking it off. What does the church say? And we're also in a new year, too, as we're listening to this, because I'm doing it. Even though we're doing the readings of December 26th, we're in the first week of the new year. And so we're seeing like into that was we're entering into the new year and we're celebrating the octave of Christmas and all that kind of stuff. The church gives us martyrdom. So what does, yeah, it's like, what does the church give us right after Christmas? It gives us a celebration of the life of St. Stephen. And if you go back and listen to our week together, there's so much that we're learning about the boldness of Stephen, about how we're meant to follow in his footsteps. And you're like, wait a minute. I don't know if I'm agreeing to martyrdom, that kind of thing. We're agreeing to boldness. We're agreeing to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We're agreeing to go wherever Jesus desires us to go. This is what we're agreeing to following Jesus wherever it takes us. And this is what Stephen agreed to. And so we see this playing out in his life. And yesterday we talked about we're at the beginning of the new year. And to really take this to heart, friends, to reflect on the life of Stephen and say, how am I following Christ with boldness? How can I be more bold in this new year? How can the Holy Spirit fill me? And how can I be more and more unafraid to be who God is calling me to be? That doesn't mean I have to function with a certain level of intensity. That doesn't mean I have to preach in the streets. That doesn't mean I have to change my personality, whatever it is. But where God has planted me in my life, how can I respond to how the Holy Spirit is calling me to follow Jesus? How can I respond to the ways that the Holy Spirit is inviting me to share the gospel? How can I respond? And yesterday we left off with Stephen being unbelievably bold. And remember, he says, "You stiff-necked people, you always resist the Holy Spirit." He is calling them out because he's anointed to do it. And here's what I want to say. God gives us the anointing and the conviction sometimes to speak certain things. I think at the same time, we also live in a culture where everyone's like, I need to call this person out. And even in Catholic culture, there's like this whole commentary culture online where it's like, I have to get on and comment and like, or there's people that are doing it for their job and they're just constantly commenting on what people are doing. And it's like, well, I have to call this person out. And it's like, well, is the Holy Spirit actually asking you to do that? Is the Holy Spirit actually convicting you to do that? Has the Holy Spirit actually given you anointing to do that? Because if the Holy Spirit has not particularly given you anointing to do it, to do that publicly in front of people is very, very, very dangerous. And this is just a side thing. I think we really need to give heed to what content we're taking in about criticism of others, because it can clog our spirit. And then we can actually get confused about what is proper conviction of the spirit and what is slander and what is gossip. And so the Holy Spirit really wants to speak, because Stephen, the Holy Spirit is speaking on his behalf. It's not him just randomly like finding the Sanhedrin and being like, you guys stink, like you guys did this, da da da. Like, no, the Holy Spirit is speaking in conviction and in power, and he's not backing down in fear, but he's also not like going out and gossiping and slandering about everybody. And so that's a really, really important distinction, friends, that I want to make, because in our culture, we think everybody needs to make a commentary on everything, right? And so we need to pray and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and to give us eyes of what is proper conviction. Because sometimes proper conviction is gentleness. Sometimes proper conviction is coming with a heart of tenderness. We should always have a heart of tenderness. But sometimes proper conviction is holding our tongue. Sometimes proper conviction is coming about it in a different way. And sometimes proper conviction is like Stephen. You stiff-necked people, you always resist the Holy Spirit. So in this new year of having deepened discernment, of saying, Holy Spirit, I don't want to speak. I want you to speak on my behalf. And because of that, I can be fearless. I can be fearless when I'm quiet, asked to be quiet. I can be fearless when I'm asked to be intense and when I'm asked to be straightforward. All of those different things. But you are deciding, Holy Spirit. So let's pray quick and let's wrap up kind of the peak of this story that we're hearing about on this week after Christmas to inspire us, to invigorate us in the new year, saying the church is calling us to follow Jesus, the incarnate word, the light of the world, in a radical way, in a profound way, to follow in the footsteps of Stephen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the witness of Stephen. We thank you that he was filled with grace and with power and that he spoke not on his own accord, but on your accord, that you spoke for him, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I pray that each person listening, as we walk into our days, as we walk into our lives, that we would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we may walk in boldness and confidence and truth. And so, Jesus, we can follow you wherever you go. Help us to know you in a deeper way, to love you in a deeper way, to see you more and more, that we may follow you wherever you go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So we ended yesterday, again, with that Stephen being pretty intense, you know, saying you're stiff-necked people, you're uncircumcised in heart and in ears. God is not going to dwell in the temple. He wants to dwell in your heart. Remember that temple that you built for such a long time and you used all that money for? Yeah, God just wants to dwell in your heart. And so the Holy Spirit is speaking on behalf of Stephen, and it's offending the Jews. It's offending the members of the Sanhedrin. And so what happens? It says, when they heard this, we're going to pick up in chapter 7, and this is back in the reading. So remember, we took a kind of a slide away from the lectionary into our direct Bibles, into the scriptures, to kind of fill in the gap of what happens between the initial argument in the Sanhedrin and now where he's responding to them and they're responding to him. It says, when they heard this, they were infuriated and they ground their teeth at him. But he, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. There's so much here. I mean, this is a beautiful, intense end to the story. So let's just begin verse by verse. When they heard this, when they heard what? Him saying, you stiff-necked people, you always resist the Holy Spirit. When they heard this, they were infuriated and they ground their teeth. You know, Pete Burak, who I work with, he always likes to say this, and I think it's such an interesting point of these are grown men. And what does it look like for grown men to grind their teeth? Grinding your teeth is like an act of being like angry. Who grinds their teeth when they're ready to go on their prey? Animals. Like truly, like predators, like lions, tigers, when they're getting ready, they grind their teeth, they clench their teeth. And so the scripture is giving us this image of Stephen is proclaiming the gospel with boldness, and says they're angry, and grown human men become like animals. There's an animalistic spirit that takes over them. They grind their teeth. And what does it say? So Stephen, looking at them, falls back in fear? No, filled with the Holy Spirit. They're grinding their teeth. They're coming at him. They're infuriated. There's this animalistic power that has overtaken them, and he's looking up to Jesus. Where should our eyes be fixed? On the one, on Jesus. He is the center. Stephen isn't like doing all this to say like, see, I proved you wrong. See, you guys are wrong. I'm right. I'm debating. How often do we debate actually just to be right? To be like, look how right Catholics are. Look at how wrong you guys are. But his focus is Jesus. And so there's this image of them grinding their teeth and him again with that peaceful angelic view. And what does God reveal to him? Because he's so pleased with Stephen, the heavens open. This is the desire of every believer, to see him, to see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. This is the desire of the human heart, of how God wants to receive us, of how we're meant to be received, that at the end of our life, the clouds would open up, the heavens would open up, and we would see him waiting for us. And it's this beautiful thing. Jesus stands to receive Stephen. And Stephen, down to the last moment, even with them grinding their teeth, rushing at him, he's still witnessing. He's saying, look who I see. I see Jesus. I see the righteous one. I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Even in his death, he is witnessing. Even in his death, he is showing this is who Jesus is. But they cried out in a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed upon him. This is really important. The rate at which people receive the gospel that we're giving is not proof of whether or not we should have given it or not. How people respond to us giving the gospel is not proof or a sign about how we communicated it or whether or not we should have communicated it. We always think if people respond well to us, that means we did a good job and that means we should keep going. No, sometimes it's a sign when people respond poorly. Because this is God's will. God is permitting this to happen. And it says they cover their ears because they don't want to hear it. So don't look to how people are responding to you as a sign for whether or not you should be preaching the gospel. The sign is, did Jesus tell me? Did Jesus ask me? Was the Holy Spirit speaking on my behalf? They cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. This is a really interesting historical thing because the main witnesses, right? Remember it said they persuaded these witnesses to come and bear false witness. And so in a trial, in like the Jewish court, in a trial, the main witnesses, as proof that their testimony was true, would be the ones to cast the first stone. Remember when it said Jesus says he without sin cast the first stone? Whoever the main witnesses were would cast the first stone as a sign to say my testimony was true. And to kind of as a sign to free themselves up, they would take off their cloaks to say their arms were free to stone, and they would lay it down to the head rabbi, at the feet of the head rabbi, as a witness of saying my testimony is true. And so there's this way that they're swearing on their lies. They're swearing against Stephen. And they're laying down their feet, their cloaks at the feet of Saul. Because the ones who witness against him are the ones to cast the first stone. And so it's this interesting dynamic that's going on. Their cloaks are signifying that they witnessed against him and that their witness was true. And so Saul is here. And knowing that Saul will become Paul, this is kind of crazy. This is what Saul was responsible for. The stoning of Stephen. And again, his witness as he's being stoned and murdered. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So friends, let's follow the witness of St. Stephen in this octave of Christmas, being bold in the Spirit because the true light has come into the world. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.